Do we have Debbie Schlissel with us, David? I may have missed any sort of comment. Oh, take your time. I've got all day. I mean, it's not like we have listeners waiting or anything. I mean, that's not a problem. I just really, that's the way you're going to play it, huh?
Okay, look, I've got so many irons in the fire right now, having to put out different fires around here because we're so short-staffed and missing people.
We're losing David next week, by the way. He's going to go be the news guy, and he's still doing news and views now with Tim. And now with more Tim, 100% Val-free. That's the way they're going to market it. No more Valerie. Anyway, Debbie Schlissel is with us. Debbie does politics.com, Debbie does movies.com. Hello, Debbie, and how are you?
Hi, doing great. Trying to wonder why nobody's blaming Joe Biden for the 5,000 plus people who've died from COVID since he became president.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, the move in the news media wasn't really even imperceptible. It was pretty obvious that there was a big shift, that suddenly we stopped talking about all kinds of bad news about COVID and we begin highlighting what little good news there is.
I mean, didn't you know that Jesus walking on water was inaugurated this week? I mean, that's the way I thought it was, listening to all their gushing.
You know, it's really rather ridiculous, because you had a guy who got more votes than any presidential candidate in history, right? Winning and being inaugurated. For some reason, we needed walls. We needed 20,000 troops. And the biggest thing to come out of that day, the biggest thing to come out of this past Wednesday, the 20th, the inauguration of the 46th president of the United States, Bernie Sanders memes. I mean, if that
just... I was just going to say his gloves. And I got to tell you, those gloves, I have gloves just like that. Those are not like a unique Vermont or Bernie thing. Those are, you go to any local craft fair before COVID when we used to have a life and have craft fairs.
Yes.
And people take these sweaters, they hunt them down at Salvation Army or whatever thrift store, and they make gloves out of them, and they line them with wool. I have gloves just like that. Now, all of a sudden, he's a trendsetter. And also, all of a sudden, purple, because they all wore it. There's unity in the country because green and blue mix equals purple. And yet they're I saw today trying to cancel this baby whisperer, this baby sleep expert, because, oh my God, she donated to the Trump campaign.
Yeah, nobody is buying into the unity thing. The left can try to push it as hard as they want, but there's 75 million Americans out here who are like, you mean by unity that we should just agree with you? And that's not going to fly, you know? It's not a question of, okay, we have differing viewpoints. Let's take some of yours and some of ours and see if we can't come together and lead. No, it's just, I've seen several liberals talk about, oh, Roe and Republicans win. They're all like, elections have consequences. I'm like, the first president I ever heard say that was Barack Obama. What are you talking about? The only one I hear calling for unity right now is the left, because they realize that they're going to get hammered. They're going to get hammered by a minority in the House, by an even split in the Senate, that Kamala Harris is going to be worn out having to show up and vote for stuff over there, unless Joe Manchin decides to convert and flip sides on a couple of issues, in which case even her vote's not going to save them. I think that they're beginning to realize just how difficult this is going to be, as is evidenced by the announcement yesterday that they think the COVID relief package ain't going to get done until March.
Well, I mean, I think that's huge evidence. I think it's interesting that Nancy Pelosi said that she, all year long, she pushed off President Trump from getting another package because she didn't want him to win the election. Then all of a sudden, Joe Biden got elected. And so quickly they got it done. Why can't they get it done quickly again?
It's a fair question, and I don't think Nancy Pelosi has an answer. By the way, the articles of impeachment are being sent over to the Senate. This is once again a political tin-ear move on the part of Nancy. I wonder if she ever gets tired of being wrong. Because, you know, all that's going to do is stop any sort of advise and consent on on cabinet members for Biden, right? They can't possibly vote on cabinet members for Biden because they have to stop everything and do at least 2 weeks worth of trial for this nonsense. And now that Trump is gone, I'm not sure that there's any appetite whatsoever for this. You might get, I don't know, the usual suspects, Mitt Romney and, Lisa Murkowski and Susan What's-Her-Face. You know, you'll get 3, 4, 5 Republican senators to vote for this, but you're not going to get 2/3. And you're once again wasting the country's time, wasting our tax dollars on something that is going to achieve exactly nothing except create a lot of bad blood for Democrats who, by the way, you know, the next election for House seats started yesterday, essentially. You know, they're all running again in 2 years, and this is not going to go down well with an awful lot of their constituents, I think. What do you make of it?
I think exactly what you're saying, and I do think that maybe right after the siege on the Capitol, when the media was going haywire, saying this was the biggest threat to democracy ever, maybe there were some Republican senators beyond, like you said, the usual liberal suspects who would vote for this. And I think even Mitch McConnell now is sorry that he made that speech about the president. That speech I think he delivered last week where he basically delivered the opening salvo about basically I'm open to voting to remove Trump. I think that after the inauguration and all the things, people are seeing these 17 executive orders and all the policies to stop the Dakota XL pipeline, which is only going to raise the price of gas for the average American. All that stuff. I think that any Republican senators who vote for this, they're going to be primaried, and they should be, and they will lose. I think President Trump, they underestimate. Yes, there are some people out of the 74 million that maybe don't like him anymore and blame him for what happened at the Capitol. But I think for the most part, if you look at the polls, and, you know, I don't trust the polls, but I do think that though in this case, they are probably very accurate. The majority of Republicans and the majority of the people who voted for the president, they are angry and they will remember this. They're not going to forget. And any senators that are Republican that vote for this, they're going to be forever. They're going to lose their seat. And I don't think Trump is going to end up starting a third party because I think he knows those are losers. And then he will be blamed for putting the Democrats in power forever because what will happen is there's going to be a civil war in the Republican Party and the Democrats will continue to win all elections. And I think what he's going to do is I think they are going to primary people and they're not going to find 17 senators, Republicans, who want to do this. And I just think it's such an incredible waste of time and money. This is a guy that's retired to Florida, and it's incredibly petty to do this. Just incredibly petty, and I think the mood has changed since last week and the week before.
I would agree. I would agree wholeheartedly. The Trump derangement syndrome still runs very high with a lot of people. And I realized something about myself the other day that because I was reading some pundit and, you know, it's a guy who I'd read before and a guy whose work I had always thought was pretty strong. And he just took off on this crazy rant, this anti-Trump rant. And it was all about how he has to, you know, we have to never allow ourselves to get taken down this road again. And it's really important. And I can't even remember the name of the guy that it was that I was reading. It was in fact I don't even remember the website. Look, I'm suffering from COVID, Debbie. Don't ask me hard questions, okay?
Well, let me tell you something since you're suffering from COVID about something. You know, I have this show in North Dakota. So
yeah.
There is a guy that several weeks ago he took an axe. He's a left-wing activist. There was a video of him. He took an axe to a U.S. senator's office, Senator John Hoeven, Republican, in North Dakota. He smashed the window in. He tried to get in, couldn't, and he left. The head of the Democratic Party in North Dakota, they called the Democrat Nonpartisan League Party. The woman, she donated to his legal defense fund, as did many other Democrats, none of whom will denounce this guy now. Is anybody up in arms saying, oh, my goodness, we need to have investigations and a huge show trial. And this is an incredible threat to democracy, and you know, this is an insurrection. No, nobody's saying that. But what is the difference? Basically, those other people, they stormed the Capitol. They broke glass. They tried to get in and do things. Yes, I think it's very serious. They had gallows. They were overheard saying that they wanted to, you know, assassinate the vice president or execute him. And I actually had somebody that wanted me to represent one of these people yesterday, and I'm not going to be involved in the case, but what is the difference between them and what happened in North Dakota? Nothing, but nobody, you didn't even hear about this story, I guarantee you, except from
Yeah. No, I didn't hear about it. I just feel like when I run across somebody who has the TDS to that degree, I can no longer take them seriously. I mean, I mean about anything. I mean, I'm just like, wow, okay, so that ridiculous opinion of yours completely invalidates any other sort of opinion that you may hold because I can't take you seriously. There was a time when Jake Tapper was considered to be a straight down the line broadcaster that we didn't think right. of him as a big hardcore lefty. He's now taken such a difficult left hard turn that I look at him and I go, it's over for you. You're ruined. You're ruined for me forever. I can never take anything you say seriously because of how you chose to handle these things. And by the way, I'm even-handed about this. I felt the same way about people who had Obama derangement syndrome. You know, if you were one of these people who was like, he's not going to give up the office after 8 years. He's going to stay in there and he's going to declare martial law and he's a communist and he's trying to, you know, ruin the United States. And I say, you know, that's Obama derangement syndrome. It's as bad as Trump derangement syndrome. And I can't take any of the people seriously who, you know, moderation in all things like a good Methodist, right?
Right. I agree.
Like I'm asking the Methodist. Jewish woman about Methodism, like that
yeah,
makes sense.
No, expert on that.
Do me a favor. Hold on, if you would, please, Debbie. We've got to take a quick break. We'll come back, and I'll just let you talk for the next 15 minutes because my throat is sore. It's Richard Dixon, TalkNet95, TalkNet95.com. Debbie Schlissel's on our Birmingham Broker Hotline. Don't go away. Debbie Schlissel is with us on the Birmingham Broker Hotline. I don't know that I have COVID. I just have all the symptoms, and I got tested yesterday, but it was the long-term test, the one that takes 24 to 48 hours. So I won't find out probably until at the earliest tomorrow morning and maybe as late as Sunday. But if I don't have it, I've missed a good chance because I've got all the symptoms. I got the fever. I got the chills. I got the sore throat. I got the coughing. I got the difficulty breathing. It could just be that I've watched a Ben Affleck movie. I don't know. Speaking of movies, anything at the box office this week that's worthy of a look?
Nothing that's worth looking at, but there are new movies.
Well, by God, let's hear about them.
All right. So one of them is MLK FBI, and it's a documentary about the FBI spying on Martin Luther King Jr. because they were worried about, allegedly, because they were worried about his influence and his ties to communists. But even though this movie tries to poo-poo it, it does admit that one of his top advisors, a guy named Levison, was a member of the Communist Party. His parents were communists. And MLK did surround himself with a lot of communists. And the big message of the movie is, oh, my God, they have audio of him cheating on his wife with multiple women in many hotel rooms. Oh, no. What's going to happen in the year 2027 when these tapes are released? That's their message. Now, they didn't mention also that he was a serial plagiarist, that his PhD from Boston University was borrowed in large part from other people without credit, that many of his papers were discovered to be stolen, basically ideas and words from other people, uncredited. But that's that movie. All right, then there, and it was long, slow, and boring. I fell asleep repeatedly. Then there is White Tiger, which is a movie about some guy in India who comes from poverty. He's treated like dirt by rich people in India. And then he kills somebody, and now he's rich. The end. It was just a long, slow, boring movie with no point to it. I felt like I sat through this for nothing. Then there is The Human Factor, which is a documentary about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and the negotiations with various U.S. presidents from Bush to Obama. And then they have like a single moment of the movie where they show President Trump and Netanyahu. They don't mention that this guy is the only one that brokered any peace with anybody. He got real peace with four different countries with Israel. That should be a movie. And of course it isn't. And Yasser Arafat's such a nice, decent guy, even though he murdered Americans, national security people, and even though he murdered many Israelis because his bodyguards watched the Golden Girls and the Clintonistas remarked on, oh, they're so nice, they watch the Golden Girls, and Yasser Arafat wants to give you chicken. All right, so that was that movie. And then there is a movie called First Cow. This is being buzzed about and pushed for the Oscars. I don't understand why. It is entertaining, but then nothing really ever happens. Basically, this girl finds these two skeletons, and then they go back like 100 or 200 years, and they show that it's these two poor guys who start stealing milk from the rich guy, and they start making biscuits, and they sell them, and they make a lot of money. And then they die, and then the movie's over. So you don't know what happens. Like, nothing happened. So that's that movie. And then finally, there is A Stone in the Water, which is a small movie, independent film starring Bonnie Bedelia. It's a horror film. It actually was the most entertaining of all these movies. But, like, I just felt I'd seen it all before. It's very creepy and scary, I have to say that. I didn't like the ending. I like a Hollywood ending. This has a real horror movie ending. Scary movie ending. It was scary. A Stone in the Water. That's streaming. So those are the five new movies. And take your pick, or if you take my advice, you'll take no pick.
Well, I would like your advice because I am, I'm basically inside and away from people for the weekend. Even if I don't have COVID, then I at least have the flu, and I don't need to be around other people. So I'm probably. Me and Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and Disney Plus are going to be spending a good bit of time together this weekend. And I don't know. I haven't watched the second season of Cobra Kai yet. I really like the first season.
I had a huge crush on the bad guy, Billy Zabka.
William Zabka, yeah.
I love that guy. I had a huge crush on him when I was younger.
He was also the bad guy in Rodney Dangerfield's Back to School, you know. He made a specialty.
Right. One of my favorite movies of all time. one of my favorites, Dean Martin. Who was the famous author that they told him he didn't know what he was talking about?
That was Kurt Vonnegut. Kurt Vonnegut wrote the paper.
That was a great movie. I could watch that movie forever. And then he was also in The Equalizer. He was the son of the guy, Edward Woodward character, I think, maybe.
Yeah. It's true. So anyway, I don't know. I may catch up on that. I might dive into something new, but I don't know exactly what it would be. I want something... I don't know, something that keeps my attention, something unique. I'm watching the Night Stalker thing. I was actually out in L.A. when that started. I worked about 2.5 hours away from there. So I kind of had my hands on it because I was in radio at the time. And then I moved away, but I still stayed on top of the story because I was still working in news at the time. And so it's really fascinating to see how they went about catching Richard Ramirez eventually. And to me, all this stuff is dated 35 years ago, but it just seems like yesterday because, of course, I'm old and I have COVID, so I'm confused.
Well, was he the same guy as the dating game serial killer, or that's a different one?
I'm guessing that's a different guy.
All right. It's hard to keep track of all my California serial killers. There are quite a few of them.
So if you have any other suggestions, I'd throw them out there, and I'd like to know. Is there anything you're streaming right now? I've already seen The Queen's Gambit. It was great. I loved it. Whatever.
I'm not really streaming anything, but I can make some recommendations. So I really like the movie Remember. It's like from maybe 10 years ago or so. It won the Canadian Oscar called The Lion, but it takes place here in the United States. It stars Marty Landau and Christopher Plummer. Just a great thriller, really suspenseful the whole time. I wasn't bored for a second. Cool. Another movie I would recommend is Doubt.
Seen it, yeah. Great film, Hoffman. Great film.
All right.
Yeah.
The Next 3 Days I liked with Russell Crowe. There are a lot of good ones. I could give you a whole list.
Well, it's too late now because the music is playing. So email it to me. Email it to me, and I'm not going to give you a homework assignment. I'll probably just end up watching something I've already seen while I look at my phone, because that's how I live my life, Debbie. A pleasure as always. We'll do it again next Friday. First News Now.